Okay, Rabbi Yisai, some interesting halachas tonight with regards to Ilchas Ta'anesim. Firstly, I want to look at Mishnah Busif Kotten Gimel, who asked the following question. What is the halacha when somebody by mistake eats on a Ta'anes? Should he continue to eat or should he continue to fast? What? What is? Great. Should he continue eating or not?
Keep going
for what? Fasting or eating?
Fasting.
Okay. Okay.
How much has he ate?
Pardon?
How much has he eaten? If he's had a complete meal, then you might as well go and eat the rest of the day.
But if it was only a bite,
meal,
if it was only one cracker, it was just
if
a couple of bits.
Then maybe he can continue fasting. Continue fasting. Meal he's had,
okay, so Stephen said depends how much. If he's satisfied, he can continue eating. If he's hungry, he should continue fasting. That's what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Who said continue eating? Why continue eating?
No.
Fasting. Why continue fasting?
Why should you eat? It's a fast day.
But you're not fasting.
When you're not eating.
Once you've lost a fast.
It's a bit like, you know, like you're telling somebody, you know, I'm fasting between the meals, kind of.
Maybe it's like
bust the
it's just like use it or lose it. So
showing
get
the
pain.
Oh, you're saying shogi mezi. That if it's shogi.
If you
carry on eating,
then
it's as follows.
Doesn't it depend, like they say on Yom Kippur, if you have to eat, you eat a small amount regularly.
Right.
So wouldn't it be the same apply here? If it's a small amount, then surely he can continue fasting.
So in most ways, so I'll tell you, Mishibuvia says as follows, if cotton gimel, mi sheta, somebody who made a mistake, ve'ochal poem, and he broke the fast, by mistake. Mikol mokim, nevertheless, tzorich lehashlim ha'taynes, he needs to complete the fasting. I don't know what that means, to complete the fasting. If you eat, I don't know, complete the fasting. You're not finishing the fast once you've eaten. Well, okay, we know what he means. Okay, you fast. Acha, after she'ochal, you've eaten. Yes, you should fast. You've eaten, fine. Doesn't matter. You should fast. Why? And the rationale is, demi she'ochal shum, somebody who ate garlic, yachsoy, ve'yoichal shum, you should eat more garlic. That's a beautiful expression. What does that mean? Mi she'ochal shum, yoichal shum. What?
Shum.
Oh, no, it doesn't mean that. It means garlic here. I know what he means. I know what he means. Yeah, but it means. What does he mean?
Because you made your breath bad, doesn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, so just because you did something wrong doesn't need to make you make it even worse. Timi shachal shum yachsav yachal shum. It's a beautiful expression in the Gemara. So he says, you know, you did one wrong thing. Doesn't mean you continue doing it even worse. Asked whether you should fast another day on top of it. We're going to have to see what it says in Timon Tovkuv Samaches. Mishnah Berurah, you've gotten in the Mishnah Berurah over there.
Rabbi,
yes.
Is it talking about a major fast or a minor fast or altogether every fast?
This is referring to, as Shulchan Aruch says, it's referring to Tisha B'Av, Shavuos HaBetamuz, Kimel Tishrei, Asar HaBeteves.
Only those three.
Not Yom Kippur. But all the other, yeah. So, it certainly comes as a very big Kiddush. It can only be explained, Rabbi Yisai. This can only be explained with the point we mentioned yesterday. Why do we fast? What's the tshuva, that's it. We fast in order to achieve tshuva. That's the aim of the game. We want to do tshuva. No, so there's no real avelus. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. There's no real avelus. Most of those ta'anesim, there's no element of avelus whatsoever. It's about tshuva. It's all about tshuva. These fasts, Rabbi said, it's really crucial according to the understanding of the Mishnah Berurah, and that's pshat and Shulchan Aruch probably as well. That the reason is we do these fasts to achieve tshuva. As the Mishnah Berurah told us yesterday, that if somebody doesn't do tshuva and he just fasts and fasts and fasts and he goes on a tiul, he goes on outing, he's missed the boat. That's not the idea. You've got to do tshuva. It's not about fasting per se. It's about fasting in order to be uncomfortable, feeling that slight discomfort, and that leads a person to do tshuva, to retrospect and kind of think and lead to a person to tshuva. Therefore, it makes sense what the Mishnah says over here, that, you know what, you ate a bit. All right, okay, fine, you ate a bit. All right, doesn't mean you should have a five-course meal. Because it's about tshuva. So fancy if you ate a bit, okay, so you can still do tshuva. If it's about, if it would be about, so the tannus is only in order to feel that discomfort and do tshuva. So if you've eaten a bit, you know, you can still fast the rest of the time and feel discomfort and do tshuva.
It says Mishatoya, right?
Yeah, so good duke. Very good duke. Very good duke.
In a brisk yeshiva where the minhag is we're going to eat lechatchila because not eating affects our learning. Then the chura, there's no Indian.
Yeah, so, yes. So, well. I suppose the reason why the Ta'a is emphasized, because if somebody does it bemezit, then he probably either, you know, he doesn't care. That's the worst case scenario. Or he feels that is a choyle, and he doesn't have to fast. We're going to be talking about those halachas at a later stage. So if that's the case, then he's allowed to eat, according to, you know, then he's allowed to eat.
Surely even someone who's got a hetzer to eat, according to this, should minimize.
Absolutely. Very good, and that's correct. The Shaitzin does say that later on. Very, very good. Rabbi Tepi, 100% right. The Shaitzin does say later on, a person should minimize from eating on the Tanesim. And that all makes much more sense if you understand that the root of the Tanis is all about tshuva. So a person doesn't, you know, he can't fast properly, but at least, you know, try to diminish as much as restrict your eating a bit.
I wasn't aware that was the case. I thought they only can't have meat, for example, because that's not in line with the spirit of the day.
Yeah, so no, Selamaisi does say that we're gonna see this Mishnah later on in Mishnah. Now, point number one. Point number two, so this Abai said it's really crucial. We've got to realize by the way, what if somebody started to eat something and he says, oh, totally forgot it's Shavuos HaBetamos. And he's in the middle of his nice steak. And he just eat such, you know, if I start, do I need to stop eating that steak now? Or can I just finish and fast then? You know, it's Baltashchis, I don't know, you're going to think of some reasons to be, you know, it just started. You know, what should I do? You know what I'm saying? So should you really, or could you just finish off the thing? So obviously the answer is no. And that's what Mishnah Berurah is teaching us over here as well. That no, Mishnah Ochal Shom, you made a mistake, but stop now and then, and you're gonna, and you continue to fast now, and that's really the halacha. Don't say, "Oh, I've wasted my fast." No, you can continue fasting despite the fact you ate a little bit. Okay, now the Mishnah Berurah over here in the halacha goes something else, which I fully know is a bit controversial, and in Hilchos Ta'anesim there's lots of controversial points. First one we encounter. When at what stage is a person going to chinuch? Who's got children over here, bar mitzvah children, when does a child, bar or bas mitzvah, when do they, you know, when do they start fasting? Which fast do they, when do they start fasting?
Three fasts before
bar mitzvah, or bas mitzvah. Yeah? Three fasts before, have you heard of this?
I don't know
if everyone. I don't know if everybody does, but it's very, very definitely very,
Well, the Mishnah says about Yom Kippur that,
yeah, right.
What does that mean? Does that mean
that
they have to be
mashed in
the fast?
So what about you, Minek? Three fast?
So my kids know this, the three months.
Never heard of it. Good, okay. Rabbi Yisai, very, very interesting. Here. It's very, very interesting. So I can tell you, it's a very common Minek. It's a very common Minek. Let's see what the Bialoch says over here on top. Hakol Chayovim. I want to bring it over here because we're going to. So I call chayovim lesanos because it's. I want to speak about it. Everybody's obligated to fast. Says the bialoch over here. Tinoikos bas yud beis shonim. When it comes to all those fasts, there's a girl which is 12 years old. We have mechone one day. For tinoik in a calls it tinoik, literally a baby of 13 years old. Is that interesting? Yeah, I know, but it's an interesting word. Bar mitzvah, 13 years old. Obligated to fast. And now comes the key words. What is the controversial bit? Veloy koidim lekein. Veloy and not koidim lekein before that. Not prior to that. Actually, if you stay serious, even if they didn't physically mature, nevertheless, they're obligated once they're 13, a boy or 12, a girl. Not before that. Loi koydim lekein. And that, yeah, not obligated. Not obligated. But loi koydim lekein. The Reb Shlomo Zalman said, now this is a very common minhag to start three fasts before. And the reason before that is, the reason why people do that is to just confirm and get used to it. It's quite hard for a 13-year-old or 12-year-old teenager to start fasting a full day. It's quite challenging, especially when it comes to the summer of Tanesim, which is quite hard. So in order to adjust and adapt and to get the body used to it, we tend to do it like a couple of three times beforehand. Reb Shlomo Zalman famously said, there are no mekayos whatsoever. There's no source whatsoever. And that's obviously what Rabbi Feingold quotes as well. There's no mekay whatsoever for such a minhag to start three times beforehand. And halacha is, and the minhag is, what the halacha says, to do you do it bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah only, not before that. Reb Shlomo Zalman said, there are three things, it's a beautiful quotation. He said, there are three things people do three times that make no sense. Again, Shlomo Zalman said, there are three things people do three times and it makes no sense. What are they? Oh, that's not one of them. Very good. That's very good. Three things, again, I'm repeating. Three things that people do three times that there's no makor for it. So the first one is this one over here. People say that their boys and girls who fast three times, before the bar and bas mitzvah, and Shlomo Zalman says, it makes no sense. That's number one, yeah? That's exactly the point. There's no mitzvah chinuch before, there's no mitzvah chinuch when it comes to that. Because the body is not ready for it yet.
You could say it won't be ready if
you don't practice. Yeah, I hear. Interesting. It's a good question. There's no that. The bialoch is mechad. There is no mitzvah chinuch. Let me think about this a little bit.
But Yom Kippur there is.
It's a good point. Very good point. I want to think about this. Yeah, Yom Kippur there might be. So on both sides, what is not one? First one is three fasts before. Second one. What do you say? Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. No, I think there is a Chaim Volozhin for that. Chaim Volozhin says that. Yeah, you're right. There's no makor for that. You step back. You don't have to. No, it's not one of them. No, because I think that's what it's so. Amaratza, they didn't even count that. You do step back. Yeah. But people sometimes you see people like lifting up the things with them. There's no makor for that. Yeah. So now number two that Shlomo Zalman says is number two is that people tend to after Pesachisei, after going to wash your hand three times, you don't have to do that. For Nekias, once washing hands once is sufficient. In certain places, al pikabola, once you wash three times, Mishnah Berurah in the early Simonim taught us certain places like this chumras. You know, we go to Pesachaim, you go to certain places three times, but after. Just going in a mokum hamatunah for something like that, you don't have to wash your hand three times.
With the tap,
you got to take a keli and you wash once on each side, but you don't have to do it three times.
If it's for the kids, why do you have to use
a keli? Yeah, that's because I don't know why, but it's the third thing that says you don't know is the halacha, what is common in a shiva, that you only take a sefer Torah out once it's been used. You only take a sefer Torah out from a shul if you're going to use it three times, which is relevant to shiva houses. You only take a sefer Torah out if you're going to use it three times. If you're out of that, he says no makor for that. It's quite common when it comes to shiva houses, etc. Taking a sefer Torah out, you've got to have it three times. So I'm always saying these are three things, but one of them is the one over here. Three times, three things, no makor. Save base and shulchan aruch. Rabbi Yisrael, before we get to Simon Tov Kuf Nun. Afal gav deksiv bakor b'chodesh ash revi b'tishol ha-chodesh. Although it says in the pasuk b'chodesh revi on the fourth month b'tishol ha-chodesh on the ninth day, hufka ir the city was broken into. Eid misanim b'tishol boy. We do not fast on the ninth of Tammuz. Rather, elo b'shivosa b'tammuz boy. We fast on shivosa b'tammuz, not on the ninth. Why? Mipnei she'afal pi she'b'rishonu hufka b'tishol boy. Although it's true, with regards to the first Beis Hamikdash, it was sieged and broken into on the ninth. of the month, since in the second Beis Hamikdash was sieged and destroyed and broken into on the 17th, therefore we fast on the 17th of Tammuz and not on the 9th. Because the Churban of Beis Sheni is more serious, more stringent, more severe. This is something to think about. Why is it that the second Churban, the second Beis Hamikdash, is more serious than the first? Pardon? Yes, I think that's pshat. I think the pshat is because we are still suffering from the second Churban and not directly anymore from the first Churban. I think that's probably posh pshat.
Did they fast in between the two?
Did they fast?
In the 70 years of
I don't know. Good question. I really don't know. Good question. I don't know the answer. Interesting. Something to investigate. Really interesting. Here we're going to be addressing the halachas of what is the difference between Tisha B'Av and the other fast days. What are the differences? What is different in Tisha B'Av and the other fast days? Says Shulchan Aruch, Kol chayovim lis'anos abot tzomis alolu. Everybody is obligated to fast those four tanesim. For also, if a scared person is not allowed to breach the fences of the takonis. So we spoke about Hakol Chayovim. What about the pre-Ban Bas Mitzvah? Okay. I want to look over here at the expression over here of the Mishnah Berurah of the Shulchan Aruch. Also live for its geder. Very interesting expression. What does that seem to indicate? The fact that Shulchan Aruch says you've got to fast. For also live for its geder. Don't breach the fence of this takonah. What does that sound like?
Is it the Rabbanon?
Dabanon.
Because it's a Durabanon, you need to respect it, otherwise it's as if you're acting disrespectfully towards the Chacham and the Institute.
Good, you're saying that it certainly sounds like, you're right, certainly sounds like a rabbinical level. It's in the rabbinical because also if it's together. But I want to ask you something. What is another Issa Dabanon that we have got? Something you've got to do on a Dabanon level? Will you still find the get of also if it's together? What's a good example? Let's hear. You've got it. What's the Rabbanon? Pardon? Pasol b'chalov. Pardon? That's kind of right a bit, yeah. To where do we have? It sounds like this expression of also live for its geder sounds like interesting. We don't find it in so many other places. You don't have to breach that wall. Why? Why are we seeing this over here? Siog, yeah. We do sometimes, yeah. I want to just look at what does this teach over here. It says the Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Aleph. Also, if it's get the right salam, Afal gab the maskinum big mora, Bismanazin, Motsu, Xerus, of the Kachovim al Israel, Toloyad over Bertzoin Israel. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah is giving us a very crucial background of a Gemara, which is as follows. There is a, the Gemara tells us that these rabbinical Tanesim are then obligation to keep or not. The Gemara says, well, it depends.
Voluntary.
It's voluntary. The Gemara says, it depends if it's an obligation or voluntary. It depends on the situation in Klal Yisrael. If it's a time in Klal Yisrael where there's lots of gzeiros and we're being chased and we're having decrees and the Gentile world is very antagonistic and it's a period of challenges and difficulties, then there's a real obligation to fast. But we're not in the times of Haman. We're not living in the times of
Well, shuls were forcibly closed at one point.
But it wasn't anti-Semitic. It wasn't anti-Semitic. I would argue. Yeah, but our churches were also closed. Tiflas were also. Yeah. So. So yeah, okay, but I would argue that it's nothing specifically against the Jewish nation. So therefore, Rabbi says that the Gemara says like this: if it's a time of period, if it's Klal Yisrael is being, then it's an obligation to fast. If it's a kind of period in Klal Yisrael, this, you know, we're in Tzoros. But if it's a time that is a bit more bochshem, a bit more easier, a bit more light, then it depends on the will of Klal Yisrael. If you want, if it's generally accepted. Okay, we've got to do it. If it's generally not, it depends on what Klal Yisrael has decided. Now, we live now, the Gemara says, that we live in a time that, Baruch Hashem, we're not, on the whole, I think we could say, I don't know how we define that exactly, I don't know what. But generally, I think we can look, we live as free people. You know, we don't have to be generally.
The rule of six.
But is it, do you, it's funny, I had this conversation a couple of times over the last week. Do these rules come, do you genuinely believe these were taken into consideration against the Jews?
To be calm, loving,
but do you think that that's what they had in mind? Do you think that they had in mind to antagonize the Jewish people? I don't think they care enough about us, and they know enough about us that they would do it against us.
Didn't
I, right?
Enforce it, really. We just kept, you know,
true as well.
When houses of worship were forced to be closed, we just ignored it. And we thought they were going to come, but they didn't enforce it. But actually, had the rules been kept, then it would have been.
Would it?
The only people that really, I mean,
would you call it though that it's a time that over the kechovim the gzeiro is there is motzu gzeiros over the kechovim on Israel.
Let's say these rules are properly enforced. Then yes, yeah. Do not make chas, not make weddings. I mean, it affects per revert, doesn't it? You can't make weddings.
But is this something which specifically against us?
Still get married. I mean, you don't need to have.
If you keep the rule of six, then you can't have a minion. You can't have a minion in a chuppah.
The consensus of most poskim is that nowadays is a time, Baruch Hashem, that Kadosh Baruch should carry on giving us. You know, they're living in a free country, in democratic. If we're fine, we're safe generally to live as Eden. No, and generally speaking, I think Baruch Hashem we can't. You know. So therefore, it then depends on the wish of Klal Yisrael. If we accept on ourselves the Tanesim, we've got a fast Tanesim. If we don't, so now, the point is, Veiskimu, says the Mishnah Berurah, I mean the first white line, Kosma Poskim, this is really important, the Achshav Kvan Rotsu, Klal Yisrael accept on themselves, Vekiblu Alein, and accept it on ourselves, Klal Yisrael, Medoyavadoy, for numerous generations, the also live for its gather. So, in principle, it could have been that Klal Yisrael would not have accepted those fast days because it's good generations. We're not being persecuted. We're not being so on the whole. So Klal Yisrael didn't have to fast really, but now it's been ready for generations and accepted Kabbalah that we fast, and therefore now comes the wording for also live for its gather. Don't breach that wall. Because it's an accepted minik. It's more than a minik. It's more than a minik. How can we call it more than a minik? It's not rabbinical, really.
Kabbalah.
It's a Kabbalah, but a proper Kabbalah. It's like accepted already. Also live for its gather. Yeah. Within that, very good. Very good comparison. You know, Mariv also is really a shos in the Gemara. But, you know, someone who doesn't Mariv, he's not.
My rant from before. In a country where they've, let's say, they've banned shkitzer and banned bishmila, there are certain countries.
Like absolutely.
Then you'll be into territory of kind of.
Absolutely, that's Rabbi Tzoris. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to add to your question, which I'm struggling with that concept. I mean, I think everybody would agree that not such a long time ago, going back 80, 90 years ago, I think there's no doubt about it, Klal Yisrael had the worst period ever. Historically, Klal Yisrael never had such tragedies and crisis and persecution like there was during the World War II and during the Holocaust. It was never anything like that, remotely similar to that. Perhaps Churban Bais can compare it a bit. Perhaps Inquisition is within the same category. But it was something. So how can we say that we live in a time that there was no Xeris Motsu? Xeris is Motsu. You only go back 90 years and there was Xeris. So you're going to argue then, which is an interesting territory to enter then, that halacha would now, everybody has to fast make Kiradin. So you're saying that the halacha has changed since the Gemara. I know he wrote it before the war, of course he did. He wrote this 10, 20 years before, 20, 30 years before. He did, you're right. No, there was persecutions. Of course there was. Yeah, but, so you're going to say that it was. Klal Yisrael throughout the history there was difficult periods and better, be worse, you know, this country, that country. So you're going to say that. So how are we going to define that? We can generally say Klal Yisrael is on safe shores, it's fine. It's hard to understand that really. But Lema said that's how with Shulchan Aruch Paskins. That it make out then there wouldn't have been no. Klal Yisrael has now accepted on themselves and it's now also for its gather. It's very interesting, very, very interesting, halacha. We're going to be talking about women tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. I'm going to enter that second controversial discussion that we're going to leave for tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. So, Rabbi Yisrael, we discussed this evening the important halacha, what if somebody by mistake broke his fast? So we discussed that he should fast. He should fast from now onwards. We discussed that with regards to Shavuos of Tammuz specifically, it would have made sense to have the Tanis on the 9th of Tammuz. Chachamim however do the 17th because that's when the second Chorban took place. Second Chorban being always more serious than the first Chorban, that's why we go for the 17th. We spoke about pre-bar and bas mitzvah, pialoch and paskins, that you do not need to fast. Very interesting question. Melina, I want to look into your question. Why is there no chinuch before? It's a very interesting question. But clearly that's what the Bialoch is teaching us. There's no chinuch before 13:12. We spoke about the ikatanis that really when there's no tzolus, then it's voluntary. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says Kalish has taken upon themselves to fast, also live for its gather. And we're going to be learning the remote tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. Good. Okay, I wish you a very good evening.